Dear Heavenly Father, help us see you in our lives. As we get into your word, as we talk about tasting and seeing that you are good, and today about how good you are to rescue us, Father God, I ask that you would help us see these things. I ask that you would help us change our lives. I ask that you would help us be focused on you and what you have done for us and what you're going to do for us in our future, God, and why you decided to rescue us. God, help us see that now and help us walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know it's important to walk in the things that you learn, right? Again, as I tell you guys, I can know every trick there is on how to rebuild a car, but unless I get out there and start building it, it doesn't do any good. I can sit inside all day long and tell you how amazing, how I know how to cook all these different foods, but until I get in the kitchen, it doesn't do any good, right? You or me. But I'm really glad some of y'all are good in the kitchen. I'm just saying. It's a good thing. We need to understand that we are given things to give them out again, right? One of the statements that I like to make the most is that God doesn't give to you, he gives through you. Everything he puts in your hands is to help you, but to take care of others, to facilitate you taking care of others. And in this series that we started, it kind of piggybacked off the one that we had the last time, because my thought process, one of the statement, there was a bunch of them that made sense and that helped me, you know, that spoke to me and helped me to look at my life differently and what I do. But one of the main ones was that not to interpret God through my circumstances, but to interpret my circumstances through the goodness of God. And how many of you know that statement is amazing, but until I understand what the goodness of God is, it doesn't do me any good, right? Interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. Well, how good is he? Like, what does that even mean? How many of you know there's sometimes people give you some answers, you're like, that's great, but I have no clue what it means, right? I don't know how to apply it to my life. And so that's why I wanted to do this series called Taste and See, that the Lord is good. And the verse that we have coming out of this is Psalms 34, verse 8. David is writing this, and he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." One of the things that we need to understand about our life is that the goodness of God is not hinged on our situation. Many times we think if things are going well, then God is good, right? But if things are not going well, then God is not so good. Now, we never say it that way. Just to be real, we never say it that way. But how many of you know it's in there rolling around, right? How many of you know there's a lot of things you can say without saying it, right? One, I love the scriptures that do that, and people are like, "No, that's not what it meant. That's it didn't say." So one of my look, and it, everybody gets mad when preachers talk about tithes and offerings. I'm gonna use this scripture, but I want you to see something, okay? In it, it says to bring the full tithes and offering into the storehouse, so that there may be meat in my food in my house. Right? Says the Lord of hosts. He says, and then I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not be able to contain it. You will have no more need. Another translation says. And then it says he'll rebuke the devourer and restore things. And it says all these things will happen. What is that whole statement hinged on? Bringing your whole tithe, your tithes and offering into the storehouse. And I listen, I hear it constantly. And I hear people say, well, God is good and he's still going to bless me even if I don't give. God is good and he blesses his children, right? I give to my children when they do stuff wrong. But remember the umbrella that I talk about. And I've been going back to this. Like, this has been hitting me. I've used this illustration forever, but this has been in my life hard the last probably 6-8 months. That the blessing of God is here, and I can be in it, and I can live in it, and I can walk in it, or I can choose to step out of it and do it on my own, right? So that's a statement that one part is said and the other part is implied. Doesn't mean that it's not true, right? If I do these things, this. All throughout the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will restore their lands and heal them, right? Restoration will come. Sins will be forgiven, right? That means if we don't do that, these won't happen. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, getting into it, we're going to talk about that God is good regardless of the circumstance that I'm in right now. Again, one of the things that have been hitting me too hard is I am frustrated God is not taking care of these issues that I've put myself in. But do you know what happened? I saw this video. I wish I could play it. I didn't even think about it. There's this guy, and there's this big ditch dug. Like they were going to lay some pipe. You know how they're doing out here on the side of the road? And they're going to lay the pipe down, and it's about this wide, and it's like this deep, you know, and the guy stands in it, and he's up to here. Well, there's a guy, and he's pulling on a sheep, a lamb, right? And he pulls his sheep out, and he yanks it out, and the thing jumps. It jumps. It hops to this side, hops to that side, and then it jumps right back in the ditch. That's what we do with God, right? He pulls us out of it, and then we hop around a little bit all on our own and jump right back into where we were. And we didn't learn from it. We didn't change, right? God helps us through every situation, even when we're like a sheep and we don't learn. We just keep jumping back into it. He still helps us out of it, but sometimes I don't think he pulls us out of it because he wants us to learn. He wants us to learn. And when we start focusing on him saying, God, you're not good because of my situation, even when we don't say it in those words, our actions speak louder than words all the time, y'all. All the time. We need to understand that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. It doesn't matter what our day looks like. It doesn't matter what's happening. We need to look at God and say, God, I know you're in control. God, I don't understand the situation. God, I don't like where I'm at right now. Couple of things. We need to do our part in the situation, just to be real. Again, you don't like what you got growing, plant different seeds, right? Plant different seeds. It's your opportunity today. And this is what I like about it and how the umbrella works, remember? It says, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalms 34:8 again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, who takes shelter, who finds safety. And this is the thing that we have to do. We have to taste and see that it's good. How many of you know, until you get in the shelter, you don't really understand how good the shelter is? A lot of times. Until you experience it for yourself. So today we're going to talk about rescue. That God is good to rescue you. Taste and see that he's good to rescue. So the definition that we're going to work with of rescue is the act of saving or being saved from danger or distress. The act of saving or being saved from danger or distress. Some of us are still being saved from our situation. He's there with us. He's walking us through it, right? Again, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but you look at all the different people who got saved and rescued from certain things. Some of them, he still let them go through it, but he rescued them from it. Like, we want to be rescued, and we want it just to be taken away. But if it just takes it away, how many of us jump right back into it? See, April and I, man, when we first got married, we didn't have nothing. We were talking about this back there, y'all, again. Remember how when young couples get married, they want everything their parents have in the cars and the big house and the stuff, and I want it right now, not understanding that they ate rice and beans for like 10 years of the 20 that they've been married, right? And they've struggled and suffered and worked different jobs and done all these different things to get to where they're at, and we want to go from living in their house to having that ourselves. And because of it, we rush and we hurry and we do things that put us in the hole, that put us in the ditch. I remember our marriage, our wedding, man, we put it on credit, all of it. Do you know what they told us not to do? I mean, it wasn't like we didn't have like $10,000 worth of stuff. I mean, we kept it modest, but we still did it. So, you know, we started in a hole. And then we added to the hole. And then at one point in my life, I had a family member that called and said, hey, I wanted to help you. I want to get you guys out of that. I want you to start over, start fresh, start new. I want to take care. What do you have for debt? We told them. They paid it. We were out of debt. But do you know what? We didn't change. We were still the same. So guess where we ended back up? In the ditch. God wants to rescue you. Sometimes he's going to use your situation to get you to see how you don't want to go back to that situation. Sometimes he's just going to take you out of it. We're going to see about that, man. Colossians chapter 1, Verse 13 to 14, it says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So I'm going to give you another translation that I like a little bit better the way it words this one. It's God's word translation. And it says this. It says, God has rescued us from the power of darkness. And He has brought us into the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves. His Son paid the price to free us, which means that our sins are forgiven. He rescued us from a lot of stuff, y'all. When I look at my past, when you look at your past, all of the things that God has rescued us from, delivered us from, the most important is that He gave His Son so that we could have eternal life. God has rescued us. He saved us from danger. He saved us from stress. If He's rescued you, I want you to just put your hand up. There's a situation you could think of right in your mind. As soon as I said something about Him rescuing you, you were like, that's me. That's me. I know exactly what it is. I'm glad y'all raised your hand because I'm going to talk to some of y'all later. He rescued me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I didn't realize I was lost. How many little kids don't really realize they're lost until they're in the middle of being lost, right? How many kids? Like, so I'm going to give you a not-so-proud parenting moment in my life, y'all. So I went to Walmart one time, and I had Sid with me. And Sid was little. She was little. We were here, so she wasn't that little. But we went to Walmart. No. We were in Denham. Sorry. It's been a minute. We were at the self-checkout line. You know how to have the big self-checkout area, and you got like 30 little or 10 little, 20 little whatever things, and you go to it, and you stand in line, and it's busy. People are coming and going, and so we're in line, and she's right here with me. And then the one comes up, and I'm like, hey, come on. And I go, and I get there, and I just start scanning and going through stuff. And then I was like, hey, hand me that. Where are you at, right? She got lost, not even paying attention. I should have been paying attention. I should have grabbed her by the hand and be like, hey, come with me. But, you know, I found her with one of the associates walking down to the customer service desk so they could call Dad. You know, who do we want to call? I need to call my dad. What's his name? Dad. You know, it didn't work out so well, so we had to work on some stuff. But it's one of those situations that in the moment of it, she didn't realize she was lost. She had no clue she needed to be rescued. Amen? In our lives, that's what we are. That's why the law is so good in our lives, that it shows us, it teaches us. The scripture says it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It teaches us how messed up we truly are when we look at it. I was lost, but now I'm found. I could not, at many points of my life, I could not see the goodness of God in my life because I was blind to it. I didn't look for it. I didn't even think it was there. How are you going to look for something that ain't there? Right? I never knew I needed to look for it. I never knew that I was lost. But God, in His goodness, came to me and said, hey, I've sent you my Son. I've sent you my Son. You don't have to be lost anymore. You don't have to be blind to the situations of what is going on and how I work in your life. God's amazing grace came in my life, and He came to your life. You may be walking in it. You may not be. You may have accepted His grace at one point, and now you're trying to do it on your own again. You know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. But the scripture says that if you are a Christ follower today, God has saved you. He has rescued you. That's why He sent His Son. And one of the things that we need to understand when we're sharing Jesus Christ and who He is this one scripture that we know that, but we don't quote it near as much as we won't do the one right before it. We don't quote it as the one we do. Some of y'all looked on your note, like, I know what He's talking about. He came to save us from eternity away from God, right? He came to give us life. What He did not come to do is this. John 3:17 says, For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that in order that the world might be saved through Him. God loved the world that He sent His Son. He didn't send Him to beat us up. He didn't send Him to say, you're horrible. He didn't send Him to do any of those things. So if we're going to be Christ-like as the church, we can't look at the world and do that. Just going to be real. We can't look at the world and it's like, well, you're going to hell. But do you know what? That's one of those statements that can be made without being made. Remember we talked about that a little while ago? The alternative is you can spend eternity with God. You can spend eternity without God, away from Him, right? And we get to play a role in that. We get to have a choice in, hey, I'm going to accept your grace. I'm going to get under the umbrella, or I'm going to walk in the rain just because I want to get in the rain. Right? But He didn't come to condemn us. The King James Version says this, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then, a little bit later, Jesus says this, John 12:47. He says, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, if they hear my words and do not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. I think one of the biggest misconceptions that we get, and I've shared this at Bible study, and some people accept it, some people look at me kind of funny, some people, hopefully everybody goes and thinks about it, dwells about it, prays about it, let the Holy Spirit speak to them. But me personally, I do not believe that we receive any judgment from God right now at all. Like if I don't read my Bible, God's going to punish me. That's not how God works, okay? Now, you might take yourself out of the blessing. I get that. Now, we as a people coming together, His children as a people, you see all through the Old Testament how they were all, how judgment came and how the kings that were evil in His sight, and then the people inherited that and they walked in it, and then a good king came and things went well and went the way. So I believe we stick ourselves in the blessing and I'll accept the blessing, but I don't believe that we rock in any judgment at this moment from God. And this is why we live under the dispensation of grace, which means judgment deferred, right? How was Jesus able to say, I don't judge anybody if they don't do what I have them to do? I came that the world could be saved. Yet in Revelation, He talks about how there's a judgment seat of Christ. We're going to sit in front of it. All of us, judgment seat of God. We're going to sit in front of it, right? So judgment is going to come, but not right now. Not right now. I believe that we walk in our consequences of our actions. I believe that consequences are coming to me. I did this. I planted this seed. I'm getting this harvest. I don't believe God is throwing it on me. Well, you did bad. I'm going to step on you once. That's not God. And Jesus said, I didn't come to judge anybody. I came so that I could be the spotless lamb that was sacrificed so that everyone could have forgiveness. Everyone. God is good to rescue us, y'all. He didn't send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that we might be saved. Notice in that verse that we might be saved. We might be saved. A lot of people that believe I'm starting to side with Aaron on this. There's a lot of people that believe in predestination, that the plan was there, and that I side with Aaron in the fact that there is a yes and a yes. That I know that God knows eternity. I know that He, when He created me, He knew what choice I was going to make because He's not defined by our sense of time, correct? But I don't believe that He created me to say I don't want you. I don't believe that. I believe that He came, He sent His Son, that I might be able to accept the free gift that He gives to me. That's how I see it. Now, get in your word, make sure that what I see lines up with the word of God. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it did. So, but I truly understand that He wants everybody, but not everybody will come. Not everyone will come. It's up to us to receive it. God did His part. He wants us to do our part. You say, well, that's doing something. That's work. Man, what in the Word of God did God tell somebody, hey, I want you to do this, and then not expect them to do it? Right? Be this. I want you to be this. But I'm not going to give you the tools to do it, and I ain't going to help you. And if you don't do it, you're going to be sent away from me forever. That's not God. Right? If that's the thought process or the way you see him, you need to get back in your word and rethink the stuff. Like when I played golf. Have I told you about playing golf before? So I decided I wanted to play golf. So the first thing I did is I got me some clubs. The second thing I did is I went to the range and I started just hitting them balls, man. I was trying to do it and I was doing good. I tried to make myself look like the thing on it. And then I went to a golf pro to teach me how to play golf. And I came in, and he's like, "You've been at the range, haven't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, isn't it good?" He's like, no, it's not. He said, "Now I have to unteach you everything that you've learned and reteach you the right way to do it." How many of you know, sometimes we're self-taught in some things that are not the right way, and we need to unlearn them and relearn them according to the Word of God, according to what the Scripture says, not because grandma's passed it down from the years. I'm sure grandma did the best she could. But listen, when you stand in front of God and he's like, "Hey, how come you did that?" You'd be like, "Because grandma told me to." It's not going to fly. Just going to be real. It's not going to fly. Y'all aren't getting me. One of y'all's laughing, but the rest of y'all looking at me serious. It's not going to fly. I'm serious. We have to be accountable for what we have. But he sent his son so that we could be rescued. It's up to us to receive it. This is the thing. This is the problem with us. Have you ever seen somebody being rescued while they're drowning in the water? Have you ever seen it happen? What ends up happening? Man, they hitting everything and everybody around them, especially the one with the life vest trying to save them. Right? Why? Because they're scared, they're worried, they're flailing around, and that's what we end up doing to God, to his word, to the people he sent to invest into our lives. We end up fighting them as well. God's trying to rescue us, and we fight his ways, we fight his word, we fight the servants of his, we fight all these different ways to try and rescue ourselves, when ultimately the best thing for us to do is rest in the one who's trying to rescue us and allow them to bring us out of our problems, out of our issues, out of our trials. God desires to save everyone. I'm going to show you some scriptures of where the Word of God says that. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who desires, talking about God, all people to be saved and to come to the truth, to the knowledge of truth." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." I'm so glad that he gives me grace and allows me to have time to get the way I need to be in him. For his Holy Spirit to change me, for me to rely on the Spirit to lead me and to guide me and to do what the Scripture says, cause me in the book of Ezekiel to walk in the ways of God. He's not slow, but he's given us an opportunity. You know, when I read that scripture, what I think about? Remember when you was a kid and you was about to get in trouble? Like, "I'm going to count to three." You're like, 1, 2, 2.5. Not wanting to get to three, right? That's God looking at us. Like, I know I see things weird, man, but that's how I see it. God's given us an opportunity. He's given us time for him to get to three. We need to take it. But the thing that we need to understand, that 1, 2, and 3 is not just for us. It's for us to be able to help others as well. I've received grace. I've received mercy. There's millions of people who haven't. That's an opportunity to do that as well. Then in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So he says, I want everybody to come. I want everybody to come. But you got to call on the name of the Lord. You got to do your part. You got to allow the gift to be given. Okay. Have you ever tried to give somebody a gift and they didn't want to take it for whatever reason? Whether it be pride or whether it be this or like, "Hey, I want to buy your lunch, but I don't want you to buy my lunch." Well, I'm not saying that you can't afford it. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying God told me to do it. I want to do it. Let me give this to you. Do you know what happens when the gift recipient refuses to allow the giver to give the gift? It takes the blessing that God wants to give that person for giving that gift. And it still is the gift that that person could have had. Right? The problem is God is giving us a gift, has given us a gift, and sometimes we refuse the gift. Do you know what? He doesn't get mad at us. He doesn't not like us anymore because we didn't let him give us a gift. Do you know what? If you try to give somebody something because God called you to and they don't take it, don't be offended. Don't be offended. God knows your heart. He knows you would have done it. And you know what? He'll give you an opportunity to do it again. Right? Think that thought. But everybody that calls on him will be saved. We need to know that God wants to rescue us, that God wants to save us, and that God wants others to come as well. So then you start thinking the thought, well, why does God want to save us? Have you ever thought that? Why? I think that, I'm just going to be real with y'all, I think that a lot. Like, God loves you. Like, my wife loves me. Like, why? Why does she love me, right? That's what I think in my mind. I'm like, why? Like, what is, I have to ask her something. I'm like, babe, why do you love me? Because I don't see it. I mean, you know, we live in that place sometimes in our life. Why would God want to rescue me? Don't you see how messed up I am? Don't you see my past? Don't you see all the problems I got? Don't you see? And God's like, I don't care about all that. So why would he rescue us? Why? Scripture tells us to taste and see the Lord is good. He wants to save us. That's the first thing that we talked about. We've been talking about it already, but I'm going to read a scripture to you real quick. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, it says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you, have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame, you shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. Do you notice he didn't say, I'm going to make it so you don't walk through the fire. I'm going to make it so the water doesn't rise up around you. I'm going to make it so all this stuff doesn't happen. No. He said, when you go through these things, when, not if, right? Not if. When you go through these things, I'm going to be there because you're mine. You're my child. I've accepted you. I want you. Our God cares about us. He calls us. He won't let troubles overwhelm us. Our trials won't hurt us. He'll be with us. Again, sometimes the stuff we go through is painful. Painful. Sometimes it helps tremendously. Right? So I think about a couple of different things in that aspect. I think about working out, how painful working out is, but how it's supposed to bring a good result. Do you realize that it doesn't bring a good result if you stop? All right, I did a sit-up. How you like my abs? They're perfect. Got my sit-up done. I'm good for like 10 years, right? No, it's something you have to do every day, all the time. So that's what I've been doing wrong all this time, right? We have to understand that if we look and we understand and we see God, he's given us the things that we're supposed to do. He's given it to us so that the trials won't overwhelm us. That is the whole theme of this book. This book. Look. This is not a book about dinosaurs. Well, how come there's no dinosaurs in there? Because this book ain't about dinosaurs. I didn't get a cookbook at the store. Look, I like going to Ollie's, y'all, and going through their little book section, especially that's where I get a lot of my Bibles from. But anyway, I like going there. But I got a cookbook the other day, and do you believe that they have the audacity to not tell me how to change a tire in that cookbook? They're like, well, that's dumb. Well, okay. This is the plan of redemption for man. You ain't gonna find nothing about dinosaurs in there. What about aliens and life on other planets? Do you know what? They say sometimes angels, we've entertained angels unaware. Angels are not from Earth. There you go. There's your alien. Right? It doesn't tell us about all those things because this is only about the redemption of man. I have a book that I study that I go through that Finnis Dake did, and it's called God's Plan for Man. And it goes through and it lines out all the stuff in the scripture and goes into deep detail and study. And I go through that and I look at that and I take some stuff and I'm like, yeah, that's I'm not sure about that. Let me go study and find it. How many of you know you're supposed to do that with everything? But if I'm looking to find anything else, he's told me in this what the plan is. He's told me in this what I need to do, how I need to handle situations, the principles that I need to have in my life. He's given it to me. Like, God, I wonder what to do. I don't know. Get in my word. Maybe you'll find it. Maybe the Holy Spirit will give it to you. Don't do the whole that. Sometimes that works. Not often. I've tried it. Okay? I'm just going to be real. Get in the word. Look at studies. Find out. Oh, man, I got anger problem. Let's find out about anger. I got a problem with my mind. Right? I got a problem with anxiety and worry. Let's find every scripture about anxiety and worry and go through it and start quoting it. And do what I said in the last sermon series. Write it down. Speak it. Think about it. Make it play in your car, man. Whatever. Write it on your mirror when you get up in the morning. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You got self-esteem issues? Let's write some scriptures about what God says I am. He's given this. This is his map, road guide, for a better, for lack of a better term, on what he wants us to do and be. That he came to save us. That he came not to condemn us, to throw us aside. But again, if you want to go aside, he's going to let you. He didn't force you to do anything. Man, he doesn't force us to do anything. This book is all about how God rescues his children. By his son and through other situations and circumstances. All throughout God's word gives examples of people being rescued. Daniel in the lion's den. We talked about that not too long ago. He rescued Jonah from the belly of the fish. Huge fish, right? Do you know how? There you go. This is a situation and a circumstance of how he put himself in that problem and God still brought him out of it. Still brought him out of it. He rescued David from the sword of the giant. We talked about that a little while ago. He rescued the disciples from the storm. Said, man, why do you have no faith? You know what he was saying? How come you didn't do this? How much longer must I suffer with you? Right? How much longer do I have to be here and say, hey, this is what you got to do. Now do it. Right? He rescued a woman from a blood disease. He rescued Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus, come forth. He rescued time and time again. He shows us examples of rescuing his children. And why does he do it? Because he wants to be with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Time and time again it comes. And the problem is that we have to do our part. So I'm going to tell you guys a story. Y'all ready? I've told you guys this before, probably at least one. I know my dad's told it before, but this has been long ago, right? There was a guy who lived in a two-story house, and he was by the river. He lived by the river, right? And there was a lot of rain. And I can understand this, y'all, because I had a memory the other day about 5 years ago. The memory was us doing church outside in a tent because our church had gotten 36 inches worth of water because 75% of our, we don't have counties, we have parishes, 75% of it flooded, right? We had two campuses, one got 18 inches and one got 36 inches, and it kind of destroyed everything, and it was the Sunday after the flood and everything had gone down and people could come and get back out. Do you know what we did? We did church in a tent outside, and it was hot, y'all, and it smelled bad because everybody had taken everything that they had that had been in their house that had flooded and brought it all out and set it beside the road for the people to come and pick up. And it sat there for months. Think that thought, right? We're there and there's the flood happening and we're going through it. So I understand what it means about being a flood. Matter of fact, my kayak that I have, I got from a buddy of mine because I'm like, dude, if we start flooding, I ain't got no way to get my kids out, man. He's like, here, set the kids on the kayak and maybe April and maybe some things you want of value and walk them out with it. That was where we were at. And then I tried to give it back. He's like, no, you just keep it, right? So I understand what the flood and is. And have any of you guys ever been in anything like that? It's crazy. But what happens is this, that the guy's sitting there and a Jeep comes by. The guy that's on the radio is like, everybody in this area needs to evacuate. It's going to flood. You need to get out of there. And then the next thing that happens is the Jeep comes by and he's sitting on his front porch. He's like, why don't you come get in, man? We'll get through the water and it'll be fine. Come on. He's like, no. God's going to save me, man. It's going to be all right. Then he gets on the second floor and he's looking out the window and a guy in a little boat comes by. He's like, dude, get on, man. Come on. It's going to flood. He's like, no. God's going to protect me. I'm going to be all right. Then an airplane or a helicopter comes by and he's sitting on his roof, house all flooding up. And the guy's like, come on, get on. He's like, nah, God's going to save me. I got this. Then he gets to heaven because he dies. And he's like, God, why didn't you rescue me? He's like, I told you on the radio, I sent a Jeep, I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter, but you refused to do what you're supposed to do. How many times do we sit back on God to rescue us and we won't do what we got to do? We won't do our part in it. We need to understand he rescues us to save us, and he gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We have to accept it. We have to accept it. Doesn't matter how long we've been walking with him. God always rescues us also in ways that we don't understand, like we don't expect. Salvation comes from different ways. Look, I guarantee you that the Israelite army was never expecting Pharaoh to be chasing them, the sea to part, looking at a wall of water on this side and a wall of water on this side and walk through on dry land and then get to the other side and it collapse. I guarantee you they didn't see God doing that. I guarantee it. But how many of you know he did it? And then they got out there and what? They started complaining. We should have been back there. God, you brought us out here to Moses. God brought us out here to die. Man, what? How? Psalms 77:19 says, your ways through the sea, your way was through the sea, your path was through great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, your road led you through the sea, your pathway led you through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. God's ready to rescue you, to bring you through a situation. And look, doesn't matter if you don't see it. Doesn't matter if your neighbors don't see it. Don't matter if your friends don't or family don't see it. God sees it and he knows it, and we need to trust him or else we may never step in the water. We may never take that step. We may never. And then we'll look at him and say, God, why didn't you do this for me? I gave you opportunity after opportunity. He wants to save you. This is what we need to do. We need to look for his hand in our life. We need to look for his provision. We need to look for his rescue in the midst of it. I love this quote. It says, those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Why? Because I've given it to you and I'm looking to what you're going to do with it. When you trust him, when you look for him, you will see his goodness. So first reason he rescues us is to save us. Number two in your notes is to help others. I've heard this statement. My pastor in Louisiana has used it over and over, and I've said it before as well, but hurting people hurt people. A lot of times we get angry and frustrated at people because of the way they treat us or talk to us, and they're coming from a place of anger and hurt. And that's why they're speaking to us the way they're speaking to us. And if we would understand that and throw it off with a grain of salt and still love them and still speak into their lives and still try to help them. Look, I ain't never got stabbed by an enemy, stabbed in the back by an enemy. Never. It's always been by a friend, someone I consider to be a friend, right? Why? Why did they do that? Because they're evil people. No, they're not, man. They're in a place of hurt right now. And they need help. God saves us. He frees us so that we can help others who are hurting know what his love, grace, and mercy is. Problem is, sometimes hurting people are very abrasive. Why? Because they have a shield up and they don't want to get hurt by nobody else. So if I could hurt you before you could hurt me, I ain't got to worry about it. Right? You know what? Those are the people that we need to love even more. Those are the people that we need to, and look, I'm talking to myself, y'all. Y'all know how I am about people. Like, all right, that's how you want to be. Just be that way, right? Yeah. That's horrible for a pastor, isn't it? God's working on me. Ask Dwayne. I'm a lot better, man. I used to throw and yell and scream and jump up and down. Now I just jump up and down and scream, right? No, I'm just kidding. I left the yelling alone. No, I'm just kidding. He gives it. He helps us. He rescues us. He saves us so that we can in turn save other people. It's a true principle, man. Here's another principle. It's just as powerful. God uses, this is from Christine Kane, God uses rescued people to rescue people. God uses people that have been pulled out of the problem, pulled out of the issue, pulled out of whatever that is to help rescue other people. Let me give you a case in point. Most of the people that run the child abuse places that started them because they were abused and they don't want anybody to go through it again. Al-Anon was started by some people whose kids had an issue with drugs, dependency on these things, and they didn't want people to go through it by themselves. So they established that. Narcotics Anonymous, AA, all these things, Celebrate Recovery. These were started by people who had been in that situation and say, I don't ever want to be there again. Food ministry started. I know what it means to not need food, not have food. I don't want anybody to ever feel that way. So this is what I'm going to do with it. Rescued people rescue people. That's what God intended. That's what God intended. You know what? You and I have been saved by grace. He wants us to go out and help, not condemn the world, but to allow them to see his love, grace, and mercy, and that he sent his son because he's a loving God, a loving father. And even though the circumstances, we don't understand them and we don't see them, God is still good and he wants to bring them through it. And we want to help, whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. This is the other thought process that we need to take on. If you have gone through pain, issue, problem, let me say this gently because I don't want to beat people up. If you have gone through those things, let me say it this way. In my situations, the problems that I have, if I've gone through those situations only to help me, then I failed in going through those situations. Like if God's delivered me from the things he's delivered me from, and I am willing to allow everyone around me to stay in that same situation, then I'm missing what God's word is all about. I can use my life experiences to show others God's grace and mercy. You need to use your situations. This is the thing. A lot of times, it's our past. It's bad. We don't want to be there. We don't want to rethink about it. We don't want to relive it. We don't want to go to those places. But you know, look, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes sitting in front of somebody on a couch and talking to them about the problems that you had going through isn't just crazy, stupid, you shouldn't do that. It is helpful to get you to get those things out of your system. Now, be careful who you let sit in a chair while you're laying on the couch. I'm going to say that, right? Be careful. Ask God. Seek God. But counseling is not a bad thing that you shouldn't be a part of. Do you know how I know? Do you know? Because people call me all the time like, hey, this is what's going on. I need some help with it. Is that bad? No. No, it's needful. And if you don't call me, shame on you. You should call me. I'm beating you up right now. You tell? Do you know how many things people go through? They come back like, hey, I went through this. I'm like, I never knew. Nobody told me. I could at least been praying. Right? Prayer does good. You know what? You need to not go through situations and experiences alone. But once you've gone through the situation, you don't need to stay in that place and keep it. You need to let it out and allow other people to have healing because of what you went through. Again, I bring up Miss Joyce all the time, right? She had scleroderma. She went to Home Depot. There was a girl behind the counter. She's like, this is the issue that I have. This is what's going on in my life. And she said, look at me. This is what you have. You need to go back to your doctor. She'd been to doctor after doctor after doctor. You know what? Joyce could have stayed at home and like, I ain't helping nobody. I'm doing myself. But if you know Joyce, that's not her. She's going to help everybody no matter how bad off she is. She's that person, right? Do you know what? We need to be that person. I've come out of the situation. God's brought me through this thing. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to keep quiet because I don't want people to think bad about me because of my past. Look, you just don't know their past, or you wouldn't think so bad, probably. I'm just be real. Truth be told, we need to use our experiences for others. This is what Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're not supposed to keep these things for ourselves. We're not supposed to give up in the midst of it. All right, I got through this situation. Now I can just stop. Now, look, there's going to be a time of rest that you need, right? When I first quit doing drugs and alcohol, man, I wanted to call everybody that was in drugs and alcohol, go hang out with them and get them out of it. That was the worst thing I could have done. My mom told me the best thing that ever happened was you went to Louisiana. She miserable I went to Louisiana. She didn't like me going to Louisiana. But do you know what I grew? Do you know what I did? I got away from all the people that were doing those things. I got in a place where I got around people that would try to build me up and to restore me and to help me get from where I was still to where they're at now because of what God's done. How did you do it? God did it for me, man. And there's some stuff I did on my own. Right? I got into church and didn't just come as a social hour that I have to come. I went to church not just as a consumer to take in. I went to church to come in the door and to give and to give and to give. Do you know what? You guys have just as much of an important part in this church as anybody else on a Sunday morning, you being here. Investing into the people that are sitting next to you. One of my favorite times of the week is sitting right there where Don is sitting and talking with all of the people in the back as we just talk about whatever God puts on our minds. We got some crazy stuff sometimes, y'all. So y'all need to pray a little bit before you come, but no. We sit back there and we talk and we invest into each other and we talk about situations and stories that happened in our life and in our background and in our past on Wednesday nights, on Wednesday mornings, all these different times coming and using what God has done in my life, even the bad stuff, and allowing it to help others be rescued from their situation. To have a place to say, this is where I am, that's where I want to go, help me to get there. And it's our job to help them get through it. You remember how bad you felt when you were in the middle of that situation? You know how dirty you felt when you got out of that situation? How unclean, and every time that you saw somebody, all you could think about was they're thinking about that, they're thinking about that, they're thinking about that. When they got like a chili dog on the brain or something, right? They're not even thinking about that, but that's what you think. And so that's what it is. We need to be those people that be like, hey, man, I love you no matter what you're going through. What can I do to help? How can I help? He didn't just bring us out of our situation so that we could be out of the situation. He brought us out of the situation so that we could help others, so that we could use our faith. There's nothing like building your faith and then giving it to somebody else. Right? There's nothing like building your faith and then giving it to somebody else. Because that's how it works. There's hope that comes into somebody because I see what happened and now it can happen to me. Hope. Faith in God and what he wants to do and what he can do. Because we need to share with the world that God loves them, that he's for them, that he wants to rescue them. Look what he's done for me. He loves his people. You can say God's a people person, right? He is. What should we be then if we're Christ-like? Christ followers, people persons. People persons? Didn't sound right when I said it that way. Peoples. We need to look and say, God, if I'm a part of your family, I want to do what the family's doing. What's your mission for the family? What are we supposed to be doing as a body? Not just me as an individual. What's the mission of the church? What does God say the mission of the church is? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to share it with you. It's to reconcile people back to him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God, what am I supposed to do? What is your will for my life? What is your plan for my life? It is the ministry of reconciliation is given to all who are part of the family. All Christ followers, all who have been reconciled, is the ministry of reconciliation. What is my, God, what's your plan? What's your purpose for my life? Find ways to bring people to him in your own way. Don't be me. Don't be somebody else. Don't try and be and do it the way this person did it. Find your own way to do it. Do you know what? I have a friend who's a vet and a veterinarian. And he said, man, there's this one dude, and he just calls me all the time. And the only thing he calls me about is because he wants me to help him with his animals. He wants this, and he wants that, and he wants this. I said, do you know that that is an opportunity for you to talk about God in the midst of it? Right? So something that we could look about and say, man, they're just trying to use me for this and just trying to use me for that. Use that as a springboard. You know what? Paul did it. He was chained to a guard. You know how many guards came to know Jesus Christ? Because he was chained to him 8 hours a day. Ain't got nowhere to go. Well, you're here. I'm going to tell you how good God is in the midst of what I'm doing. Right? You got them coworkers that stuck with you in a truck for a couple hours on a ride? Man, start talking about God and how good he is. Maybe figure out some ways to do it inconspicuously. Right? That's a nice word. You like that one? Inconspicuously. Let's find some ways to do it without doing it, right? Some people, you start talking about God and about church and about the Bible, they'll shut you down in a heartbeat. But find a principle that works and then point it out in the Word of God afterwards, right? Now that takes us doing some homework and finding the principles and how we can relate them to our lives every day. But we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. My past is gone. The things that I've done are gone. Now God's given me this gift to be able to go and tell everybody that they are gone and they can be gone for them too. That God wants them to be a part of the family, that come into the presence. Not get rid of all that junk you got and then come be a part of our family. I'm going to say that again. I don't know if y'all caught it right. Not get rid of all your junk and then come be a part of our family. Come be a part of our family and let us help you see God's plan for your life and allow the Holy Spirit to change you. We're just going to love on you in the meantime. We're just going to love on you in the meantime. Not counting their trespasses against them. Aren't you glad that he didn't make you get cleaned up before you could come to him? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So what is he saying? People are looking at your life to see what God's all about. Be reconciled to God. Line your life up with God's word. Line your mouth up with God's word. Line your actions up with God's word. Because people are looking at God because of how you act. Because of how I act. Do you know what? That's the most the most horrible thing that people did when I was a kid. Right? They blamed my stupidity on my earthly father. Like, they look bad at my mom and dad because they didn't raise me right. Look, I'm going to tell y'all what. You can raise a child and do everything right, and that child's going to do what that child wants to do. Just be honest. And the reflection of what the child does not reflect who the parents are, earthly. We all understand that process. But do you know what? The world, when they look at us, they see what God is supposed to be, and they blame him for every stupid thing we do. Maybe if we think that thought, we wouldn't do as many stupid things. Maybe. Some of us are hard-headed. We just keep right on going. That's the idea as a kid, right? But thinking that thought, my parents raised me right in the right way. They did everything that they could in the eyes of God, what they thought God wanted to do and how they were supposed to raise me and train me. And they did a good job when I was a kid. I was the idiot that ran off and did dumb things. But don't blame my parents because of the stupid stuff that I did. I mean, I'm the one that punched your little kid in the nose and took his Cheerio. I was 3 at the time, y'all, so don't be all... wasn't last week or anything, right? It was my mom and dad's fault that I did that thing, right? But if we start thinking that thought process, maybe that changes the way we deal with people. Maybe that changes the way we talk to people. Maybe that changes who we are. Our message should be, come back to God, not you're going to hell. Just going to be real. Our message should be, God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. I love you. Let us help. What can we do? Not, you need to do this, this, and this. Now we're going to tell you how you're going to do it. That's our help. Right? That's not help. That's not help. Again, look. Think this thought. Parents. All the stuff that you had to deal with your infant, your baby, when they first got here, changing diapers, being up all night, sleeping, would you be angry at that child because all those things were happening? No, that's what a kid does. But do you know what? We'll expect someone to walk in the door with their life a total wreck and expect them to say the prayer with us and everything then be all of a sudden mature. With no issues, no problems, no anything. We do that spiritually. Do you know what? There's a lot of people that never, we were talking about this earlier before church, there are not a lot of people that never leave out of the adolescent stage of Christianity. There are a lot of people that never come out of the diaper phase. You're always going to clean up their mess and you're always going to do those things. Now, when I first came to God, I was at a church that was very strict on, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Right? Structure. I needed that. Then, I don't need it now. Right? Now I have the relationship. Now I understand how it works. But if you look at the physical and the spiritual mirrored side by side, there's a lot of infants that were yelling, get straightened up, act like an adult. When they're still an infant, they still got to learn. They still got to be taught some things. For my friends that helped me put a reading thing together where I sat down at least 15 to 20 minutes a day and read the scripture and wrote down what I thought it meant to me. The person that made me do that when I first came to Christ. Like, well, that's putting law on them. Do you know what? It, worst of all, made me learn the word of God. Second of all, made me understand and see what it could do in my life because I was writing down what I thought it meant to me. Right? And then we got commentaries and we went through it and we said, okay, let's see. This is what they said it means about it, and this is what this person said it means about it. Sometimes they were completely different, and we had to look at one and look at the other and weigh it and say, well, I think this is what it means, or I think that's what it means. Like, right? That's what we're supposed to do with Scripture anyway. But having that structure when I was a child was a good thing. While I was... God uses rescued people to rescue people. We're supposed to help others. This is the last one. Y'all ready? Then we're going to stop. God wants us to be with Him. That's His whole goal, His whole plan, His whole desire. That's why He created us, to be in His presence. He wants a relationship with us. And this is one of the verses that I'm so grateful for. Psalms 136:1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. Even when I'm a bonehead, He loves me. Even when I do dumb things, He loves me. Even before I even knew that I was lost, needed to be found, He loved me. And the thing is that it's eternal, it's forever, it's unconditional. Right? Now again, when I go back to my thought process, when I come home to my father's house after the Navy, and he says, come home, you can come home, but you can't bring that with you. If you want that more than the relationship with me, that's okay, you can have it, but you can't have both. That's the same principle in God's word. I want you to come around, but those things that you've got that's holding on to you, you got to let them go. You can either hold on to them or hold on to me. Hold on to them or hold on to me. Which one do you want to do? The thing is, until we stand in front of them, we have an opportunity for change. We have an opportunity to come to him. And there's nothing on earth that can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things of the present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. He loves me. He wants us to taste and see that he's good. He wants us to see that he's there always. But this is the thing. Like I said before, just knowing doesn't do anything if you don't do it. Taste and see. Taste and see. Give him an opportunity. Give him an opportunity. I love the fact that in a couple places in the scripture, one, definitely, but other places, he's like, hey, see that I'm here. This is where I'm at. Come to me. Jesus said it over and over, man. Come to me. And this is just an aside, but don't keep people from coming to him for whatever reason. Remember when the children were coming and they were like, no, 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 stay away from him. He's like, no, 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 let him come. Let him come. He wants the ones that are dirty with runny noses, right? Been playing outside and got all dirty sandaled feet, right? He wants us to come. And he wants to be the one to take care of us and to clean us. Just knowing that he's good is not good enough. You have to taste and see that he's good. I want you guys to pray with me real quick. We're going to stop. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. And I ask right now, Father God, that you would help us to see you. That you would help us to see that you're good. To see that in the middle of our situations that you want to rescue us. To see that in the middle of what we're doing and even if we've put ourselves there or not, Father God, that you're going to take care of us. That as your word says, that we're going to still go through the fire. We're going to still go through the flames. We're going to go through the waters that get deep, Father God. But you are not going to leave us. And they're not going to overtake us. And the fire is not going to burn us. And that we're going to come through it. And that sometimes coming through hurts a little bit. Sometimes coming through cuts some stuff off that we don't need. Makes us get rid of some baggage and some things. Helps us to lay down, Father God. And just as the gardener, the farmer does with the trees, the plants, where sometimes there's a pruning that comes forth so that the fruit can come. Sometimes there's a cutback that comes in our life so that new growth can come. And I ask that you'd help us with that and help us see the difference between them, Father God. And help us to see that you are good all the time in our lives, Father. For those of us who don't know you, we ask that you would allow us to see you today. That you'd allow us to accept the gift that you've given to us in your Son, the freedom, the grace, the mercy. And God, help us once we receive it to give it away to others. To give it away to others and to be used to help bring others to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to sing one more song and then I'm going to come up and pray before we get up out of here.